everything that has been said today is just a confirmation of what God is about to establish in the service, because it's always quite good to hear this thing. Because I think about the same time, between the hours of 12 midnight and about sort of 5 a.m. I was preparing the message and I was going in certain directions, but in prayer the direction shifted again to exactly what Brother Akin were sharing. So I think God is trying to, I believe that, you know, we say Jesus Christ is coming soon, we keep on saying that, but I believe that the unity of the church is what will usher in the coming of Christ, because that is where the church will reach its maximum power and potential on the earth. It's so crucial. So I want us to begin to understand that and know what God is doing in this time. It's very, very crucial. Let's go to Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. The atmosphere is quite tight now. You have to be connected in fellowship to a company of people. In fellowship. Fellowship means a fellowship in the word and the things of the spirit. Participation in the spirit. So important. Obadiah. Ezekiel, Daniel, Jose, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Obadiah before Jonah, I think it is. It's before Jonah, I think. It's page 1000 and... Obadiah 1:17. You see, because God is building a glorious church. He says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And we are coming to Mount Zion today. So as a church, we will stand and believe for this, in this service. No, you see, we are talking about, it says, upon Mount Zion we are come, to the city of the living God. So it's a living church, there are an innumerable company of angels in this assembly right now, if God opens your eyes to see. Understand this, we are entering into the realm of the spirit where the church is going to begin to emerge in its power. I like what Akin said, he said the people that thought they were in power will hide in caves. You see, when the church begins to understand this power of unity, and, you know, it's not just social unity. No. Going to picnics. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about participation in the spirit of fellowship. That's when they prayed together and Peter was delivered. What happened? The same unction fell upon Herod and he was slain. That's a governmental anointing. Well, you don't need to go around and shout. You sit down in a place and you gather together in corporate prayer. See, we're entering that realm now. So let's understand that. It's a two-edged sword. Understand, that same thing that happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Understand, the prayer and the corporate strength was there. And they tried to tamper with it, and judgment fell. We're entering the realm. In fact, I was in the paper, someone went to a church and desecrated the temple. Scattered everything. I said, that the time will come where that will not be permitted. As you touch it, judgment drops. Because we're entering the realm where the body of Christ will start to function in its power, because we have one king, which is Christ, and we are members of his flesh and of his bones. We're going to see ourselves like that we have no purpose outside of him. No purpose outside of him. That means the eyes cannot function outside of the body. So your mind has to change completely from that individualistic thing. We're individuals, but you cannot function outside the body. It means that if you take your leg outside the body, how will the leg function? So your purpose is in context of the body of Christ. Begin to see that. Ask God, what is my role in the body of Christ? It is selfishness that causes the problem. It says, in the last days which you are in, perilous times shall come. Why? Because men shall be lovers of themselves. That's not the body of Christ. Jesus says, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. It's the ministry of love where we are united together. Understand that? That's our entry. The individualistic time is over. The gifts have been given to the body for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Still, what is the end point? It's still, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And the essence that the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Understand this? We're entering that realm. So begin to connect. Don't isolate yourself. I beg you. We're entering that place where you need your company. At least two. To begin to participate in the Spirit. To bring things about on the earth. So believe this in this service, that today, as a body, we'll say it together, upon Mount Zion today, let's say it together, there is deliverance for every single person. There is holiness in every single life. And we, the inhabitants of Judah, that's the tribe of praise, possess our possession today in the name of Jesus. We stand with one voice and we say, there's a restoration today of everything that has been lost. And every man receives direction by the Holy Spirit to go and experience and manifest what God's intent for us is. No man leaves this company today without a specific revelation on what they ought to do in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for it's done. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. We were operating like that. That's how we function in the body. The principle of that self thing, it came, is positive thinking that brought it. I'm telling you, that's not just the name of the function. We speak from the scriptures. So as I was praying over the service, I was going to continue my series for next week, last week, but the Lord brought me back to this thing of unity. He says, I'm not done yet. So we were talking about the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ last week. And we said the essence of the church is to establish that kingdom on the earth. That's why the church is here. And the kingdom is the rule of God and the authority of God on the earth. And once that thing begins to operate, you say, of the increase of that kingdom and peace, there's no end. Understand, once it begins to operate, that is, see, that's when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came on the scene. It was like a people working in an organization, basically. That's what it was like. And they took over the organization, and they demonstrated tangible, miraculous things, practical things in the organization that changed the face of the thing. That's what we're talking about. So we're talking about people that will go out there and begin to manifest a company. There were only four men. Four men began to reverberate the entire nation. Four men. Four men. On the Saturday, the 120 people will turn the world upside down. It was from the force of unity. It wasn't an individual person. It was the force of unity. It was the force of unity. On the side, it was the force of unity. Take away this cap of this isolatedness. Understand this. I will show you something on the scriptures. The language of the New Covenant is we. The language of the New Testament is we. I heard Christopher Dollar talking over the week. He said God corrected him on certain things about imagination and all that. And he said that God showed him that you left this thing we are practicing. And in the testimony, all he was saying is we. We. Kathy and I. Kathy and I. We. He didn't mention I once. I said, wow. He understands the thing functions with we. That's what Jesus says, we're two. He didn't say one, two or three. Let's understand this. Together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That's what Christianity is. It's a body. It's a body. First of all, you are part of a body. You receive that energy. We'll see then, you now go out and see. Your mentality has to switch. It's a body. It's a body. Understand that. And Jesus Christ is our King. So the kingdom of God, we talked about it, is not in word, But it's in power. Kingdom of God is not in word. It cannot be in word. God's kingdom is not just in word. That's what Paul said. Look, I come not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but the kingdom of God always has to be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And there are different demonstrations. It can be revelation-wise, it can be manifestation of tangible things, but it has to be a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If not, that's not the kingdom. There has to be a demonstration of power in the things pertaining to the kingdom. That's why it says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violence taken by force. You need violence. You need force and power to take something by force. You cannot take something by force without an element of power being involved. Understand that. And what is the power of this kingdom? The power of this kingdom is the Holy Ghost. Without the Spirit of God, there is no, how would you can't, there's no power. Let's understand, we are so dependent on the Spirit, the person of the Holy Ghost. That's why he came to the earth. That's to say, and you shall receive the power to operate in the kingdom of God when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Nothing else can give you that power. You can struggle and shout all you want. But the power to operate in the kingdom is found in the Holy Ghost. That's the precious gift he has given to us. And how does the Spirit manifest that power? Through words. Jesus says the flesh profits nothing, it's the Spirit that quickens. How does it demonstrate it? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, or they are spiritual and they are life-giving forces. That is how you become a quickening spirit. The Holy Ghost comes upon you, and when he comes upon you, the words you speak are life-giving forces. That's how you operate. So we're going to go through the scriptures and see how this power... See, you cannot operate in the things of God without this power. In its fullness. In its fullness. Let's understand this. So what? How do we do this? I mean, what is God's agenda? Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We'll see some things here. And because I believe strongly that this is the finest hour of the church, and we're advancing. We're advancing. Luke chapter 1. Let's establish some things here. Now the angel appeared to Zechariah in John chapter 1, from verse 15, about John the Baptist. It says, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, about John, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. The reason why John could accomplish all those things is because he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. There's no other way John would have been able to accomplish that. He said he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. So John the Baptist's ministry commenced by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This one was from the womb. So he did not go out into ministry without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Understand that. Let's go to the book of John chapter 1 again. Let's go to verse 35. I want to make you know that it all starts with the Holy Spirit. See, let me tell you the truth of the matter. You shouldn't venture things without being filled with the Holy Spirit first. Really, really. If not, you won't get the maximum impact. You shouldn't venture. I will go through that. The angel came to Mary in John 1:35. Luke 1:35, sorry. And what did he say? You have told her the promise and everything. She has said, how shall these things be? How am I going to come? This thing you're telling me is impossible. You know, you have seen the thing in the word. He has told her the word. He says you give birth a child and you call his name Jesus, and he said all that. He didn't say, how will I be able to accomplish this thing you are showing me? How did she say? He said, the way it will happen is that the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. That's the starting point. So after the revelation comes, the next thing is that the Holy Spirit has to come upon you for a fulfillment of the word that he has shown to you. You can't fulfill the revelation in your own power. It's not possible. The Spirit of God has come to effect the kingdom of God on the earth. Ephesians. I want to show you one more. Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, I heard Susan Hatton say this first time. She said, you cannot do any form of, how did she put it? He said, you cannot go out in the things of God until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't actually, because the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and you need power. So you cannot enter a strong man's house and displace him of his goods except you bind the strong man. How do you bind the strong man? By shouting. You need power. When talking of authority is different too. You have authority in Christ. We're talking of power to displace the enemy. Like I can say, we have an adversary. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll show you this now. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says, don't be unwise. First of all, understand the will of God, like we talked about last week. Understand what God is saying regarding that situation. Get the word. Then after you get the word, the next thing is, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. After you get the word, the next thing is to receive an infilling of the Holy Spirit for the performance of that word. Then how, when the Spirit comes, then you now speak. The problem is that people are speaking to things without being filled with the Spirit first. It is when the Spirit comes that you now speak. That's how it works. I will see through the scriptures. You see, and what I want to focus on is how does this supply and this power, how do we come in contact with the power? We all know how to get revelation. We all know how to open the scriptures. How he said the word was quickened to me. I saw it. God showed me that word. We are masters of that. But we have to see it clearly. How does this supply? I mean, how? In fact, how do we receive this power? In fact, before I go on, I just something God showed me, which I think I should just share as I was praying this morning. You see, this power, the Holy Spirit, if you look through the scriptures like I was saying, there is nowhere. I looked through the scriptures. Let me take you on a journey. When Jesus Christ came to John the Baptist, when he was filled with the Spirit, he says, upon whom? You see the Spirit. So there was a contact between two people. He took me there. He said, look, even when Mary came, it is when she came in contact with Elizabeth. He said, the baby in the womb leaped for joy. The Holy Ghost came upon her. And something happened in that connection. He was showing me through the scriptures that the infilling of the Holy Spirit was not. I never saw it anywhere. Look through the book of Acts, where one person stayed by himself and was receiving it. It was a corporate thing. One person received the revelation and people gathered together to pray that thing into the earth. I'll share it from the scriptures. Let's go. It's together. See, this thing is together. Paul thought he was the champion. He said, I planted. Then I came round, and I thought I was the champion. And Apollos watered. I saw that this thing is not... Then I now saw God giving the increase. But when I planted, I thought it was just me, but there was a bit of a struggle. There was no increase. Then Apollos now came in, and he watered. As soon as Apollos watered what I planted, and I saw the explosion. Well, it is clear to me now that this thing is no isolation anywhere. I'm completely convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt. If God himself... Let's go to John. I will show you something. I want your mindset to change completely, because this is the enemy's plot to isolate people in their thinking. In their thinking. John chapter 17. That is why when Raki and Sitarawe came to talk about this thing, I knew where the Spirit of God was trying to emphasize. I saw it clearly. John 17, 20. It says, I pray, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one in us. He now said here, 26. He says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them. Now, 23. Look at 23. It says, I in them. I in them. As a collective. Understand this. It didn't say I in you. It says, I in them as a collective. That's what he was saying. I in them. So Christ has come to in. Let's begin to think about it like that. Because if you look at the scripture where it says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, if you look at the Amplified, it says, know you not that ye are the temple. He was talking about the whole, if you look at it, it was a plural form. It says the whole church of Corinth are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in us, not only in you, as a body. Think about it like that. As a body. So Jesus says, I in them and thou in me. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them that and as thou hast loved me. It's a plural thing. It wasn't an individually. I want to show you that this thing is together. Jesus would have said, I in you and you in me. No, he says, I in them. That's what Paul said. Look, you guys, you are the temple. The whole church of Corinth are the temple of the living God. The whole church are the temple of the living God. So let's understand that. And let our mindset begin to function like that. And God took me, what I wanted to talk about, why I brought the scripture, is that I was looking into something, I was praying, and something flashed into my mind, something medical. And he said, do you know that every disease, every form of sickness, that immune-related sicknesses, I mean, immune system is the defense of the body. And that there are two forms of sicknesses. Either one, and it should be in the scriptures, one is either that the immune system is not strong enough to fight the invading organism, or that the immune system is hyperactive, that it starts killing itself, its own cells. There are two ways. Those are the two ways. And he took me to the church in Corinth. He said, for this reason, many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep. So that's the first one. There's a weakness in the body, so that is why the challenges are penetrating and affecting the lives of the individuals because of an omission. There's weakness. They're not covering for one another. They didn't descend the Lord's body. They're not covering for one another by omission. Like he said, that is what happened to Cain. When he says, Cain, where is your brother Abel? It was that mindset that I am not my brother's keeper. I am following my life. I am facing my purpose without considering my brother. It's omission. So there's a weak bond. So there's access through the point where you're supposed to stand and cover. That's the first one. Not descending the Lord's body. Not understand that, look, I am my brother's keeper. The second way it comes in is the cells become hyperactive. They begin to destroy their own cells in the body. The cell loses its identity and begins to fight its own cell. The immune system begins to fight the cells of the body. It's sort of something that enters in, triggers it. Something triggers it, and it begins to attack the cells of this is what we call autoimmune diseases. It says when offense enters in, when strife enters in, the body begins to fight. That's what Paul told me in Scripture. Paul said in Galatians 5, he says, take heed. Let's go there. Two ways. Understand that. And we're going to see, we're entering the dangerous time now. The end times of this thing has come to fulfill this thing. And once the unity has clicked and the world begins to come en masse into the kingdom, then our Savior, the way is for him to come. Galatians chapter 5. So he told me that this is the second one. If you look at 14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It says, if ye bite, can you see there, and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one of another. That's the second one. That's the second one there. So the cells of the body begin to fight themselves and destroy themselves. The first one was a weakness by omission, not regarding your brother. Not being your brother's keeper. The second one is offense. Something has triggered that offense and they begin to fight and devour one another. Let's understand that. That's how the body functions. That's why we say, that's the law there. That's what he said in the previous verse. He said, brethren, the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These things are spiritual. They're spiritual. And once that begins to happen, the body begins to self-destruct. And I believe the spiritual, the physical things are like, they show you clearly the things that are made. I mean, God is so clear. You know, so he showed me that. So that's one thing to look out for. Two things to preserve the body. Make sure you're your brother's keeper, as in you are on duty. See yourself as a guard. You're on duty for the people in your circle. It's not an option. If you leave your guard, there's a weakness there. You are your brother's keeper. The next time you are asked, where is your brother Abel? You should know. Copeland said, I know where Savelli is. I might not know where he is physically, but my spirit, I know where he is. Because I'm praying for him. I know where he is. I know his position. I know when he's in trouble. I feel it inside there. That's the first one. And the second, when something enters offense, you begin to devour. That's what happened to Cain. He participated in two of them. He wasn't Abel's keeper, and the next thing he slew his brother Abel. How is that by words? Let's understand this. Very important. Okay. So that's it. Just as an aside. So we'll continue with this. So the power is in coming together to pray these things through. Now let's look at the book of Acts. How do we get this power? We think clearly. We know how to get the revelation. So the way it is actually, really, is like they threatened them in Acts. Okay, they threatened us. We know the scripture is in Psalm 2. And come to your own company and make the prayer. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. So he shall receive power. When does the power come? Only after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then after that, when you've received power, then you will be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's why he told them in Luke, I think it's 25, he says, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. The revelation is not just enough. Knowing the scripture is not enough. You need the power of the Holy Ghost to come upon you for a fulfillment of that thing. That says, tarry until you are endued with power from on high, then you shall be a witness. And let's look at how did the Holy Ghost come. I mean, let's follow the scriptures. Let's look at the various citations of how the Holy Ghost came. Acts chapter 2, what happened there? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That was unity. And suddenly there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. Now, the next one was Acts chapter 4. Let's go there. You see, because even when they were going to the temple to pray, say Peter and John were going together to the temple to pray when they met the lame man. I began to see everywhere in the scripture, it was so much about the unity of the Spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Here again it says, allow me to read this earlier. Verse 23. I'll just say, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all. They went to their own, they didn't go to their houses, which is what the enemy intends to accomplish. They didn't isolate themselves, but they went to their own company and reported all. Because they knew that for each challenge, we need a fresh supply of the Spirit. They had received the Spirit in Acts 2. When did they come again to pray? To be refilled. That's why it says you have to be continuously be filled with each fresh challenge. You need a fresh infilling. So they went to their own company, and how look at it here. This is how they came together again, and they were filled again with the Spirit. They stayed there. What does it mean to be filled? They stayed there until, they stayed there in prayer until they were filled. On that matter, they didn't move. That means they stayed in prayer until there was a breakthrough in the Spirit. They entered the place of joy. Together, they pushed it through. There was an end point, because Jesus now told those guys, okay, stop, now, it's enough. Something had happened. They had broke into a place of joy. That's why they say you pray through until you have a gusher. They got to that point. They got to that point. They didn't stop there. They didn't leave that place with heaviness. Even if they left, they know that this matter is not finished. They came back there together as a group. If one person, the person will get tired. Together as a group, they prayed through until there was a gusher. So there were definite endpoints. We don't know this thing this Pentecostal time. They will stay there in prayer, those guys, until there's a definite. There was nothing like that prayer is not answered. There was nothing like that. If the answer doesn't come, there must be a reason. God will speak and say, this is why it hasn't come. I mean, there's nothing like you pray and you believe in your life floating in the air that this, you're not even sure which is going to be answered. No, there's nothing like that. It was definite. It was exact. Let's understand that. That's Acts chapter 2. Let me go there. So when they were filled with the Spirit, what happened next? 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness. What did he say? And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be a witness. So when the Spirit came, they spoke the word of God boldly, and with great power they gave witness. So it was by the speaking of the word, and that is what released the power. So when you come out of those sessions of prayer, this is a practical thing now. When you have prayed and you have a breakthrough, you have to end that thing with prophetic declarations. Don't leave that place without that. Don't let that power go to waste. When you enter that place of prayer and you come out as a group, you have to end with prophetic declarations. Understand that? I mean, when I say prophetic declarations now, that you are speaking directly to the thing. When you have received that thing, you understand? So, a group again came, and that's what happened. Go to Acts chapter 13. I'm just flipping through. When you get home, be like a Berean Christian, read the book of Acts and verify whether what I am saying is so. Because see, if you take a longer time to push it, this is humility.
That's why there's no pride in the body. Ask any man. Hagin said they thought it was me. I had a company of people praying for me in the closet. Nobody saw them. I had a company of men making groaning. See, even what's his name? Charles Giffini. There were people that will come to the city, Father Nash and his company, before they even appear, to groan over the city and over the meetings. When Finney comes, miracles, the whole city will get saved. If a one man didn't get saved, they said, no, it cannot happen. That every single person must get saved. They said, one man, they heard that one man in the city didn't get saved. They called the company again. They said, just pray. They prayed and prayed and prayed. And they broke the power of Satan over that man. Then the man got saved. It's not hit and miss we're dealing with that. We're dealing with specific things. We're dealing with power. Let me show you that Acts chapter 13. I'm going to show you how the power comes. It's corporate prayer. See, it's corporate prayer. Acts 13:2. And there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, chapter 1, Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manem, and all that. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost came again on the scene. See, it's all over the scriptures. I'm begging you, join a cell. That's what I'm trying to say. Find a company or so. You need someone. You cannot do yourself. If you don't join yourself, at least pray with your wife. I'm serious. No, it's a serious thing. And I will show you what I'm saying, because that is Satan's master key. And I will show you from the scriptures clearly. Let me show you something. Go to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. It says, walk in the Spirit, Abby, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And how, people are trying to walk in the Spirit with the energy of the human will. You cannot walk in the Spirit without being filled with the Spirit. You can't. Luke chapter 4. You cannot be led of the Spirit. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit. The reason he was led because he was full. You cannot be led if you are full. You are trying in the energy of your flesh. You cannot be led until you are full. As there are many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Until you are full of the Spirit, you cannot be led by the Spirit. Let's understand that. What I want to show now is a few things, and I pray the Holy Ghost is able to crystallize those thoughts in our minds. Now, let me see if I can find the scriptures. Sorry. Go to Mark. Go to Mark chapter 6, verse 39. Someone else, you open to Matthew 9:36. We want to tie those two scriptures together. We have to be as practical as possible with this thing. So if you cannot join this, I'm begging you. If you are married, get your wife as your partner, prayer partner. Or if you have a close friend that you can trust, it's just so important. Now, you're on the same frequency in the things of the Spirit, or not?
Mark 6:39. Let me show you something. It says there, Mark 6:39. God was showing me that, look, that when Jesus multiplied the loaves, what did he first do? Let's start from 38. And said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to sit down in companies. It wasn't, see, God is exact in his word. He said, sit down in companies upon the green grass. And grass represents being fed. Food, abundant food. So, God is showing me that there are two things you require for a manifestation. The word of God and the unity of the people. He says, sit down in companies. The other rendering says, sit down in groups to receive the manifestation. So the word is intact and the company is intact to receive the manifestation. Sit down in companies. Let's go again. Matthew, the one in Matthew. Has anybody found it? Matthew 9:36. I'll read it. Even the Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, and God. So why do we think that? Matthew 9:36. Matthew 9:36. Let me show you something here. It says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. They fainted because they were scattered abroad. There was no company. See, understand this. It says the young lions will run and faint, but they, not he, that wait upon the... See, understand what I'm saying. They will renew their strength. They will mount up. It's a collective. They were scattered abroad. Why? Because there was no shepherd to arrange them into groups. That's the work of the shepherd. To teach revelation and to arrange into groups. Yeah. So they fainted. They were trying to do the same. They were exerting energy. They would try and pray today. They pray for 1 hour. Tomorrow, no. Today they will push me. Tomorrow, no. They are fainting. They are scattered. And that's what Jesus said. After he saw them scattered, he taught them. So two things. You teach them. That's why he says they continued. Why were they steadfast? God said the reason why they were steadfast is because there was a fellowship. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. It was the fellowship that produced the energy of steadfastness. At 11 o'clock, I know what the time is. Even when I'm tired. And I see the text. I wake up. Except everybody in Africa. No, I'm telling you this thing. So it becomes effortless. Jesus told them, he says, the time will come. It's in the book. You can read when you get home. When everybody will be scattered and you will leave me alone, but I'm not alone. The thief comes to scatter. Let's go to John chapter 10. Let's see that. See, let me tell you the truth. That thing you are pushing, you've been pushing for years. If you gather 3 people of like mind, you will dissolve it in hours. That's the truth about the matter. That's the truth about the matter. Simple. That vision that God has given you as a person. He gives you the revelation, fine, you receive it, but you share the people to push it through. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. John said, these things I write unto you that you may have fellowship with us.
and truly our fellowship with the Father, the essence of the body of Christ, is a united front. I can't overemphasize this thing. It's a united front. There's no self-made man. It's a united front, linked together. John chapter 10. I'll read from verse, I'll start from 1. It says, he that entered, verily I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbed up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered into the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Now go to verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scatters them. That's the essence. That's what he wants to do. And the hireling fleeth, because he careth not for the sheep. So the good shepherd, the essence of the shepherd really is to bring those things together, to make sure the sheep are put together in folds. The hireling, which is the wolf, which is Satan, comes to scatter the sheep. That's why the sin against the body of Christ is disunity. So that is the essence, just to scatter. When you mean scatter, Jesus says, a time will come when you will be scattered and every man will go to his own. That means, I'm on my own. I'm pushing, understand this, it's not as if you are scattered and you have gone. No, that I'm believing God for myself. I'm building myself. That's what he means. He says, every man will be scattered and go to his own. Understand this though? What Jesus is saying here, whereas what should happen is that when the thing comes like that, what you should do is you return to your own company. Not your own. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the same thing that happened. And Daniel. He said they came to their own company. And they lifted up their voice with one accord. Say, Lord, that's how they took this. You cannot do it by yourself. Natural men even understand this, that you cannot do it by yourself. Ask, find out who is ruling the economy. There is a company of men behind closed doors, sitting down. I don't know how many they are. Deciding the economy, all the one you're running around, they are deciding it. They push something here, everybody runs. They push something. Company of men. Understand this, though? This is how we take territory. It's that mentality that, as I said, that when the people that thought they were in power will begin to hide in caves until we begin to function like this, it will happen. And that's what God is taking the church to. That's what I said in church too. No, a fury of divinity rose inside me this morning. I said, what? Not one person, not one prayer should go unanswered. No. Not one person should linger in a situation for that long. No, we refuse to allow it. No. We stand and say, no, we are not accepting no for an answer on this one. We'll push it through. That is why sometimes God doesn't reveal things to his servants, because he knows that they have the power to turn it. The authority is immense, but the way it operates is by scattering. So if you can see that and know that you want to restrict me from receiving the supply of the Spirit in this matter, it's not difficult. God shows you a word personally. You call a company of men, say, this is what God has shown me. Let's pray this thing through. And we gather together and we tarry until the Holy Ghost comes. And when he comes, every single person is. That's why he's saying, how good and pleasant it is for brethren. We are reading the scripture. For brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the oil, the anointing, that flows down Aaron's beard to his skirt. To every, see, that means it touches everybody that participated. Everybody, nobody's exempt. That's why they were all filled. All, not an exception. That's the body of Christ. That's what we are part of. Because it's such a powerful position that, say, in my mind now, I know that I'm so confident that there's nothing. Because I know I have a company of people. I belong to a company of people. Jesus Christ is the head, and that anointing flows from the head to his body. I began to see when we were praying on Friday, I saw a different dimension of health. I said, Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. The life of the vine flows into the body, the entire body. He's the source of our health. He's our health and the length of our days. He's our strength. He's flowing through us. The life of the vine is flowing through us. What to say connected? Don't isolate yourself from that life. Connected. Connected. So just understand that. And next we will continue. But let's understand that we are members of one another. The life of Christ, the health of the vine flows through the body. Christ cannot be sick. No, let's understand. Let's begin to push into the impossible as a body. Say one man, begin to push into things that in this place, divorce is not existent. In this place, barrenness is non-existent. Begin to push in. Begin to push in as a body. With one voice. Put away the individualistic cap. Keep that pride away. It is together. It is together. We're going to meet that thing. We're going to move into that place. Three men took over Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. It says no man can do that except those that have their dwellings with the gods. That means they were always in contact with the spirit. There was a different spirit operating inside them. So you go, you carry the atmosphere into your workplace. Say one of them has come. I'm serious. You carry that and say into your place. Say, the one of them has come. That's what he says in Nehemiah. That reading. He says, in this city, the Zion of God is built. No from today, no custom or tribute will pay for you on this side of the river. Satan is afraid of that. He says, in this city, if you allow them to build, it's a bad and rebellious city. Meaning that no tribute will come to you again on this side of the river. So don't allow them to build it. Don't let them build that unity of the spirit. Don't let them come together and understand the power of unity. One of the politicians said, look, say, if the church in Nigeria knew a natural man, not a Christian, say, if the church in Nigeria knew the power that they have available in unity, and they organized themselves in a way that we will all be finished, we'll be hiding in holes, exactly what I can say today. He said it from his mouth, a heathen. So the power is too much. What we have is too much. What we have is too much. No, it's a privilege to be born at this time. You see things happening. You see things happening. And it will spread like fire. Starting from this place, you will see things happening. In the next few months, you will see things happening. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for what your spirit is doing in this end times in the nation of the United Kingdom. Father, we submit ourselves to you that we will stay on track. Give us the grace to keep it pure. 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 That Christ alone and the fullness of the Anointed One will be manifested in every life, oh God. That the reason you instituted the church will begin to show forth, Father, from this place. Father, we give you thanks that the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ will be in full manifestation in every life. Father, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name.